People often moan that governments need to do more to encourage us to be green. But there are, in fact, already many carrots and sticks urging us to change. So what more does the government need to do? Sarah Lewis is founder of change management consultancy Appreciating Change.
This is very interesting because you're trying to affect the behaviour of a large number of people whom you don't know individually. I think the government has a very good track record, actually, of achieving large-scale behaviour change, although it does take time. And the main way forward is a mixture of a carrot and stick. So, for example, some of us will remember the campaign to get us all to use seatbelts. Now, I'm not quite sure what the percentage was of people who were using them originally, but I think it was less than 50%. It certainly wasn't a habitual habit for a lot of people. And you'll remember there was a whole education campaign and associated with celebrities that people liked, so you're kind of being encouraged by people who have meaning for you in your world. And at the same time, after a period of time, there was a follow-up in terms of sanctions if you were caught driving without your seatbelt on. So it's probably the same kind of approach that would be, well, is effective in achieving this kind of behaviour change. You want a lot of education early on about what needs to be done and how it's going to be done. Make it easy for people again. So if you're wanting people to recycle their rubbish at the point of exit from the household, have colour-coded bins, make sure that there are not only words on those bins about what can go in them, but also pictures, because not everybody is as literate as we might like. So let's have some pictures there to help people. You might want to set up some campaigns like they do with, I can't think what it's called, the best dressed village, you know, where they have the which village is looking best. You could have the best street in terms of returning rubbish in the state that the council wants it to be returned in. But then further on, you might need to use some kind of stick methodologies as well. In other words, if the binmen come to collect the bin and it has something in it that shouldn't be there, maybe not removing the rubbish at that day, or putting a little notice through the householder's door, kind of pointing out that they've got this wrong. Could they please get it right next time? People notice that. They don't like to have rubbish hanging around of any description. So if it's not taken away, that's mildly unpleasant for people.
Whenever you mention something like that, for example, leave the rubbish, then people go, oh, yes, but then they'll just fly tip it or they'll just leave it on the street and then it's more of a problem. There always seems to be some reason why penalising somebody is a bad idea. Is that fair?
Well, fly tipping takes quite a lot of energy, actually. You've got to put it in your car and take it somewhere. And assuming that there is no penalty for taking it down to the council dump, and in fact, they'll be appreciative and take it off you and the rest of it, why would somebody go to the trouble of fly tipping? And also, I think it's a case of making sure there isn't that negative effect. So we don't collect it today, but maybe we come back in a couple of days' time, make sure you've understood why it wasn't collected, and we'll take it away now.
It's because of the danger that somebody would just say, well, I'm going to leave it on my street and the foxes will get it and kind of who cares. Is it therefore better in a way to turn around and say, well, actually, we are going to fine you? And I know lots of people throw up their hands when they turn around and say, well, how dare they fine us for getting our rubbish wrong? But actually, that would seem to be a way in which it prevents me suffering from my neighbour's rubbish.
It's about which sanction will affect which person and what will they be affected by. So for some people, you know, almost the shame of still having their rubbish full and overflowing on Tuesday when all the rubbish is collected on Monday will be a big enough kind of incentive to get it right next time. For other people, you're quite right. Until it hits them in the pocket, they may not be attending to what you're asking them to notice and change.
And with the idea of the street with the most recycling, how do you go about telling everybody about that? Because presumably, does that make any difference if people don't know about it? And actually, do you have to tell everybody or just the street that's one?
Very much you have to tell everybody. And this is about, for any organisation, and councils have a lot at their disposal, actually, using as many medium and channels as possible to let people know what their efforts are achieving. So as well as notices back through the door, where there are public displays, where they have their own advertising sites that they could use for some of their own posters. A lot of councils have their own newsletters that they deliver to householders, so there's another opportunity to let it be known. And maybe if some of those people from that street get to meet somebody of some prestige, whether it's the mayor or the local councillor or some visiting celebrity who comes around to give out the prizes and so on, people notice these things.
And what about having something very visual? So, for example, you know, on the town hall, you have a big thermometer, sometimes like they do on churches about fundraising, but this is actually about how much rubbish we've saved or something like that. Does that actually have any impact?
I think that's fantastic. And if you can put it in terms that is relevant to the behaviour you're trying to promote. So whether it's about how much forestry we've saved, how much landfill space we've saved, how much water is not having to be cleaned and treated because people are conserving water better, whatever it is, if you can show the effect people are having in a way that is related to the behaviour, that's even better than the thermometer, which is a great one in itself. But maybe we can find something that's more symbolic of the efforts that people are making. And if one can take that on to the kind of complete loop, as I was mentioning with the trees, really, you know, we've recycled that much wood, and that means, you know, this many trees have not been cut down, which means that this much more air is being replenished by the carbon dioxide oxygen effect of forestry. It's all good news. Just keep telling people why this is good.
That's Sarah Lewis from Appreciating Change.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.